Welcome, everybody, to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, and welcome to the show where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Our very special guest today is Grammy Award-nominated singer-songwriter Beth Hart, who has been recognized across the world as one of the great live vocalists of our time. For 20 years, she has been leveling audiences with her incredible power, range, and soul. Four of the greatest lead guitarist legends in the business knew this, which is why they asked her to perform with them in concert with Jeff Beck, in concert and on two spellbinding albums, Don't Explain and Seesaw with Joe Bonamassa, on two powerhouse records with Slash, on Beth's own track, Sister Heroine, and on Slash's Mother Maria, and on a very special blues album, Rhythm and Blues with Buddy Guy. It's no wonder she's been nominated for two Blues Music Awards. Time and time again, Beth has sold out venues around the world, but maybe her greatest live performance to date was seen by millions of TV viewers when her tribute to Buddy Guy on the Kennedy Center Honors Special received one of the only two standing ovations of the evening, led by President Barack Obama and his wife Michelle. Every live performance gets a standing ovation because no one knows how to rock the house better than Beth Hart. Beth Hart's latest release is entitled Better Than Home. This album isn't about the problems Beth has faced in her life. Instead, she's choosing to find the good things that have been there all along. Accepting and loving her parents for who they really are, appreciating a good husband, facing her fears head on, and ultimately finding ways to heal and convert that positive energy into music that moves people. This is an incredibly moving, self-written, and composed album that's going to reach people on a very personal level because a one-of-a-kind artist found the perfect formula for exposing her very private inner voice and empowering it with her legendary outer voice. Because of that, it simply doesn't get better than Beth Hart's self-written and composed Better Than Home. Beth will be launching an additional leg to her tour from Nashville on February 12th. The first time I heard or watched Beth Hart was on a YouTube video several years back. Beth and her band sang the Humble Pie classic, I Don't Need No Doctor, in a stunning live performance in Amsterdam. And I immediately thought to myself, man, this chick can save rock and roll. Then I watched Am I the One, again, another live thriller from Amsterdam. I became completely mesmerized, and I just knew I was watching a legend in the making. Nobody, and I mean nobody, can naturally interpret the heart, soul, and talent reminiscent to the glory days of rock, blues, and R&B like Beth Hart. I truly believe that Beth alone can revive the genre of rock and the blues. She is the rock and roll savior and should be a household name very soon here in the USA because she is just about every other place around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Ray Shasho Show, dynamic singer and songwriter, savior of rock and the blues, Beth Hart. Beth, thank you for being on the show today.
My God! I'm going to tell you something, man. I never heard an introduction like that in my life. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Oh, my God. Now the interview is going to suck, isn't it? Oh, my God. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm here in beautiful Florida, where you're going to be performing at Coachman's Park, not too far along, in Clearwater.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to it. Absolutely. I've been taking a little break from the road lately, so we're kind of itching to get back now.
Well, you'll be starting up again here pretty soon.
Yeah.
First thing I want to get cleared up is your birthday. Wikipedia lists your birthday two different dates, January 24th and January 27th. Which is it?
It's the 24th, yeah.
Okay, it's the 24th, okay, because mine's the 27th.
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, we're close.
Yeah, my husband's is the 21st, so he's got his birthday coming up here.
Awesome. So we're all Aquarians, I guess, huh?
Yeah, we're all Aquarians. Yep.
Yeah, I knew we'd get along.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When did you first learn that you had this amazing, powerful voice? When did that happen?
Oh, God, I don't know. I mean, I just know that when I was a kid, I really was into the piano and the cello. That was my thing. And then my mom took me, I think when I was around 6 or 7, to see the TV show or the Broadway show Annie.
Right.
And I fell in love with that show and learned all the songs, and I'd play it for her, you know, in the evening time I'd ask her if I could come in and sing for her. And I just liked the way it felt to be loud and to sing and see her reaction. So that was really kind of my thing as a really young girl. I didn't think I had much of a voice or anything like that. I just liked the way that it felt.
Well, you know, your facial expressions, your body language, amazingly fused with your vocals so naturally. I mean, you're just you seem to pour out your heart and soul with every song, you know?
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to hear that. Thank you. Well, I guess I just really love... I love all the different genres of singers, and
right.
There were so many wonderful singers when I was growing up that my mother and also my brother turned me on to, that I just fell so in love with and I think had a big impact on me. So, yeah, it's so much fun.
Who were some of those singers that they turned you on to back in the day?
Well, my mom was really into Dinah Washington,
right?
Especially Dinah Washington and Billie Holiday. I think were probably her two favorites. So
right.
I grew up listening to a lot of that and still adore and listen to them to this day, along with Ella Fitzgerald,
of course.
But there was some kind of special bond I think my mom felt she had with Billy and with Dinah. So I heard a lot of that growing up, and I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, did you sing with the records back then? Is that how you kind of, you know, learned? Or?
I heard my mom playing the records. Mm-hmm. But my mom has a wonderful voice, so I would listen to her sing a lot. Whenever she would take her baths in the afternoon, she'd always ask me to come in and sit with her and just talk with her. That was her time
right.
of the day where she wanted to kind of talk and sing. And
right.
so I'd listen to her sing a lot, and she had a beautiful voice. She has it. She's still alive. She's awesome. I actually just saw her yesterday. I flew out to Bisbee, Arizona, where she lives, and spent the last couple of days with her. So she's awesome.
Wouldn't that be pretty cool if you guys sang like a duet together on stage?
I know, and her voice is so beautiful too. I don't know if she would do it. I just asked her if she would do a little music video with me for a song that I'd written for her called "Mom, This One's for You."
Yep.
So she might do that. I mean,
definitely.
She's 80 years old, you know. So
yeah.
I might get her to come out and do that. I hope so.
Well, listen, she's still young. I talked to Petula Clark. She's like 81, 82, and she's still cranking them out.
That's so awesome, isn't it? I love it.
It is.
I mean, I think that's the dream of every artist, to be able to keep doing what you love to do well into the later part of your life. You know, it's such a wonderful thing. So I know that's a dream of mine. I hope I live to be very old, and I hope I get to keep doing this until that time as well.
I think you will, and music needs you. We're losing so many people, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thanks.
I'm telling you the truth. When I first saw you singing, you know, the Humble Pie classic, I said, this is the person that's going to save the genre. Because, you know, rock and roll has really, you know, lost its impact because it's not being promoted like it should anymore. You know,
you actually go on, and
I was a DJ back in the late 70s and I did Top 40. And all the Top 40s, all at, you know, it's pretty much dance music, and it's derivatives of like disco kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's the heart and soul, you know, R&B and all that. It's not there anymore, you know. And those were the classics. So you know.
Yeah, I think with the young people, you know, this happens with every generation. They're going to be
right.
into what they're into, and so that way, you know, that I don't really focus too much on all of that. I just kind of do what I do and love doing
right.
it, and see if people will come out and check it out. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But then
sure.
again, too, the kind of music I do is so all across the board. So you kind of have to enjoy not only rock and roll and blues, but jazz and kind of singer-songwriter storytelling kind of music. It's
right.
a big mix of things. And I just like that. To me, it's just Americana great music. And
it
that's
is.
The thing that I want to do.
Yeah, it all started from here, you know, from the great
yeah.
players from the early 20s and, you know.
Yeah.
We can claim that.
I'm proud of that, aren't you? Isn't that cool? All that great music comes from our country. Isn't that awesome?
I really am. And, you know, the Brits were in all of us. You know, all the British legends that I talked to, if it wasn't for those guys, we wouldn't even be in here. You know, and I'm sure it's
yeah, isn't that amazing?
The Beatles, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you,
yeah.
How do you keep your voice in shape? I mean, you know, when I think of these kind of voices, you know, I mean, of course, Janis Joplin, but, you know, like the male voices like Steven Tyler, I always wondered about him, too, because he really belts it out there. How do you keep your voice in shape?
You know, I work a lot with my coach. I've been working with a coach. Well, first I worked with my very first coach when I was 13, and I really wanted to be an opera singer. And so that's the kind of
really?
Thing I was doing at a young age. And then she said, you know what, dude? She goes, you do way too many of your own thing with this music. It's not going to happen for you. You cannot, you know, improv classical music. So
right.
I was sad, but I respected what she was saying. And I was already songwriting at that time anyway, and I wasn't doing anything like operatic writing. So I just decided to go another direction, the direction of what I'm in today. And I started working with a great coach named Bob Korff. So he, what I love about him is that he really trained me from a young age, started working with him when I was 16, and he's all about being healthy and how to take care of your voice. Instead of, you know, the way that you sing, it's more of the way you support your breath when you sing, and also lifestyle. So I actually was just with him this morning. So I see him every day when I'm off the road, or I try to every day, and just, you know, work on taking care of my instrument the best that I can, you know?
Is there anything that you take that works, like, you know, a hot tea and lemon, or, you know, any kind of thing like that, that would, you know, soothe
yeah.
the voice? Or, yeah.
Yeah. Like, some of the things he taught me that are most important is being quiet in
okay.
between your shows when you're on the road, so not doing
right.
a lot of talking.
Right.
And just, so you use it when you have to use it, and then you rest it. He said, you know, talking can be harder on your voice than singing can. If you're singing properly, talking usually is harder on your throat. So that's one of the things, and lots of tea and honey and good sleep and, you know, avoiding smoking and avoiding, you know, talking loud in rooms, even off the road, just really trying to be mindful that it is an instrument. You got to take care of it.
Yeah. I mean, you got a great voice, too. You know, the way you belt it out, and you got a normal, you know, a normal voice, and it's, you know, it just sounds so clear, and I could tell.
Thank
you.
You
heard it very well. It's an instrument. You're right.
Thank
yeah.
you. Yeah, try to. But if I don't, it really, okay, if I don't take care of it, though, it definitely turns around and bites me in the butt big time. Like, I'll
definitely.
Lose my throat, and then I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I don't want to go on steroids, because once you go on steroids, that really can end up hurting your not only your voice but your body later on. So, yeah, I'm pretty anal about it. But I don't know any singers that aren't. Every singer I've ever met is basically psycho when it comes to, oh my God, did I lose my voice? Oh my God, did I harm my voice? You know, there's a lot of that. So I'm glad that I'm not the only neurotic singer in the world.
And you know, you got such a cool band. You know, it's not like you have to really scream over your band. You know, they just, you guys mesh well, so well.
Thank you. They're such good guys. Thank
I know.
You.
Let's see, is it John Nichols?
John yes,
Nichols?
John Nichols.
Bob Marinelli.
And also Bob Marinelli on bass. Yep.
Okay.
And Bill Ransom on drums.
Bill Ransom,
who's
amazing.
Right. I adore him.
Yep.
And PJ Barth, the other guitar.
PJ Barth. Yep. I love your band.
Yeah.
Your band is like, don't get rid of them for any reason.
Okay. I'm going to tell them you said that. That's going to make them feel really good. That's so sweet. Thank you.
So cool. You guys mesh so well together. It kind of reminds me, you know, I like Sade. And, you know, she's
yeah,
a great singer.
So
but,
do I.
But her band is also incredible, you know, and sometimes they might not get as much kudos as they should, and they just mesh so well, you know?
Oh, yeah, they'd have to be great, though, because look at the kind of music that they're doing. You know what I mean? That's definitely the kind of music that you got to be a good player to do. I haven't gotten to see her live, but any time I've ever seen her on TV or anything like that, she's so fantastic.
Yeah, she's hard to get to see live, because I think when she had her kids and everything, she kind of dropped off the radar for a while to take care of her family and everything. So,
oh, really?
It's kind of hard to get to see her. Now, how did you first meet Jeff Beck? That is so awesome.
You know, it was a strange thing because I had just done one song on a record of a guy named Toots Thielemann, super successful, amazing harmonica player. He's an old, old man now, and he lives in Holland. And I was very fortunate to get to work with him. I think he was 81 or 82 when I did the recordings with him, and now he's got to be in his 90s or something like that. Anyway, the song was I Got a Right to Sing the Blues by Billie Holiday, and Jeff Beck heard it. And he said, well, let's get together and do some writing. So my first experience working with Jeff was as a songwriter with him up in London. And we really, really clicked, and I was blown away by what he could do on his guitar. I was so mesmerized. I couldn't even believe it. Yep. And he was so sweet to me. And then anyway, about a few months later maybe, he saw a show I did in Holland called Live at the Paradiso. It was a DVD, and he saw me perform Whole Lotta Love. And he contacted me and said, I'd love you to be my singer when I go on the road to do a U.S. tour. So that's how we hooked up to actually perform live together. And we went and we did a U.S. tour together. And this is many years ago now. I think this has got to be 8 years ago, 9 years ago, something like that, maybe longer.
I mean, you know, the live from Holland, Amsterdam, that video is awesome. I think most people a lot of people fell in love with you from that. That crowd is so cool. And I love the way you kind of sat down with the audience, you know, and did your thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was a really, really special event because I had basically screwed up my career right prior to that. The year prior to that was when I had a lot of push from Atlantic Records. I was with Atlantic Records for two albums, and the second album, you know, kind of took off, and they believed in it, and they really worked it. But I was not ready to take off. I was really wrapped up in addiction. Okay. So I screwed up my relationship with them. And I kind of had nowhere to go, and I couldn't work anyway because I was so far gone at that point. And when I finally started to get sober and feel like I could maybe get back to work, I made a record called Leave the Light On. And when we went to Holland, it was like the audience was unbelievable.
They were.
So we were like, well, let's come back and record this as a DVD. And we did, and I just felt so happy and thankful that here I was, sober, making music again and getting a chance at having a life. And it just, it was thrilling. And I also have gotten to get married to my husband, my beautiful husband that year, or a couple years prior to that. And it was just, I don't know, it was just one of those things where, you know, you'd really lost your way and then you were able to find your way back, but it was better than what you could have ever imagined life could be like. And I really got to experience that and feel that. I'm so grateful that I did. That's one of my favorite moments in my life is doing that DVD.
Oh, my goodness. It just blew me away. I mean, I said, I've never seen a singer like this, you know? And I've seen a lot of them, and I know Janis Joplin, and, you know, a lot of people will compare you to her, but I, you know, I hate to say this, and, you know, I think you sound better than Janis.
Oh, my
really
God, it's sacrilegious. You got to take that back.
I know.
The lightning bolts are going to start coming out of the sky.
I know. But I really believe you can pick up any genre and sing it. That's the difference.
No.
And like
you said, you can
do jazz, you can do the old Billie Holiday standards, you can do rock, you know, you can do anything, which is
great. You. God, you're like the nicest person in the world. You're so making me feel good today. Bless your heart, man.
That's because I'm a big fan, and we need you.
Aww,
we need you desperately in music today. We really, really do. Now your husband's also your road manager, is that right?
Yes, yep, mm-hmm, yep. And I'm still with David Wolf, my manager, who's been with me for 21 years now. Can you believe that?
Really?
And he's just been right by my side through the thick and the thin. And I love my David Wolf. He really is my family at this point. We are just connected to the hip.
Now, where did you first meet your husband?
My husband was on the road with me doing merch for Screaming for My Supper when I was having my first hit with Atlantic, and that was also the last record I was with Atlantic on. And so Scotty was hired to do merch, and I hated merch. I would never go out to the merch table and sign because I get really it's weird. I don't feel nervous on stage performing for people, but I do feel nervous when I'm doing like meet and greets or signings or anything like that. I feel very insecure. So I would never go out to the merch table, but he was so cute that for the first time I would go out to that merch table and I'd sit down next to him because I just wanted to be near him, you know?
That's cool.
I swear it. I still feel that way. He's just a doll.
How long have you been married now?
We have been, well, March 15 will be our 15-year wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. That's
wonderful. Thank you.
You guys have children
here? Thank you. Nope, no kids, never any kids. Nope, nope. I'm too nuts for kids. And the way I live my life on the road, I don't think it would be fair. So we just decided nope on that.
Yeah. Well, you never know, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I'm 100 years old now. There's no way I could have kids now. Yeah, I'm going to be 44 on January. Yeah, it's 44 on January 24th.
Really? You look like you're like 29, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You look great.
I'll take that one, though.
You're going to be performing in Vegas in September. Is that the first time you've ever performed in Vegas?
No, no, no. I played in Vegas quite a few times throughout the year.
No,
I didn't know, though, that we were going to be there.
What do you think about Vegas? What do you think about playing a venue in Vegas?
I liked old Vegas, man. You know, I liked that seedy, you know, funky vibe.
Right.
I mean, it's all right. It's not my favorite. I loved the old days of Vegas. That was so cool. But,
Yeah, today it's, you know, it's very corporate, you know, and you got families in there. I used to go to Vegas all the time back when the Mafia was still there, you know.
Oh,
We stayed in the Riviera, and it was, I liked it. I liked that kind of, you know.
Yeah.
The atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, totally. It had such a vibe, didn't it?
It did. It had a great vibe. I want to talk about your latest album, Better Than Home.
Okay.
Talk about making this album. I'm giving it 5 stars, but anything Beth Hart puts out, I'll probably give 5 stars.
Oh, my God. Thank
you. It's a
great
album.
I really like it.
It's got a whole different tone to it. There's a lot of, you know, like great R&B in it, a lot of great R&B tracks. And,
Thank you.
It's a very, very good album. It's got awesome lyrics. You're a great songwriter.
Thank you.
Talk about the album and what it meant, you know, how it all came about,
I'd done a television show called the Kennedy Center Honors with Jeff Beck.
Yep.
And the producer, the music producer and the director of the show, who's also a producer, were the names of Michael Stevens and Rob Mathis.
Right.
And when I was finished with the show, they got to talking with my manager, and they thought it would be a cool idea to do like a blues cover record or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when they went home and did some investigation on me, they called each other in surprise because they didn't know that I was a songwriter. So instead of doing an album of covers, they said, we'd love to do an album of your writing, like a real personal solo record.
Right.
So I was really into working with Kevin Shirley, and I was reluctant to change because I had just been introduced to Kevin Shirley through Joe Bonamassa. We had done Don't Explain together, and then I did one of my records with Kevin called Bang Bang Boom Boom.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to change, you know, and I'm pretty stubborn. But my husband and my manager really convinced me to take a shot, and I'm really glad that I did. They're both such talented men and worked so hard to really push me as a writer and as a singer and to try different things. And it made me very nervous. You know, I'm not so into change unless it's my idea to make the change. It's hard for me to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very difficult in that way to make the record because I had so much anxiety. But I'm so thankful that I did. I learned a lot. And I think that on the other side is a really beautiful album that I'm so proud of. I'm like not even letting my label release the next record yet because I just want this record to have a chance to simmer out there.
Yep.
You know, I just really love it. And there's no way it would have been made that way without both of those two wonderful men, Rob Mathis and Michael Stevens. So, yeah.
I love
that's it.
Yeah, I said it's I said savvy, sentimental, soulful, superb. How's that? 5 stars.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
It's great.
Thank you.
A lot of great
Thank
tracks.
Thank you so much.
Let's see, Might as Well Smile. Very nice R&B, great tune. What about Tell Him to Hold On? Okay, can you talk about those lyrics a little bit?
Yes. So I do deal with mental illness. So in my life, I've been, you know, in and out of some wards for when your brain is so off that,
right,
you know, medication is just not going to do it. So you kind of have to go in and they kind of treat you. And the last time I was in for a lengthy period, I remembered that when I first got in there, I didn't really know what was going on, and I was kind of having fun because I was like, oh, my God, I'm with all my people. We're all nuts. This is great. And then after being in there for a while and my brain chemistry started to balance again, I really came into the awareness that there were so many people in there that hadn't gotten balanced yet, and they were so hopeless.
Right.
And so that song kind of came to mind as a way to say, hey, you know what? It's going to get really brutal sometimes, whether you have mental illness or not. That is life. It's part of it is suffering. But it always, always turns around. It
right.
always does. And
Eventually.
Then it gets crappy again. And
yep.
then it turns around again.
Yep.
And I think that sometimes when you're way down in the dark and you're lost, you really are hopeless. You think, mm-hmm. that's it. I don't even want to be here. I just want to give up. And
yep.
that's one of the things about the song is that it really talks about, hey, no matter who you are, no matter how bad you think you've done things or how bad you don't deserve to live, you always deserve to live. You always deserve to have a chance to turn it around because it will always come around again and it will lift you back up. So that's really what that song is about.
That's a great message. Fantastic message. It's got a little bit of a gospel feel to it, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit of melody.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank
love it,
you.
Love it. Another tune I really liked, Trouble. Very
simple. Oh, yeah.
You know, with the horns in the background and can't keep my big mouth shut. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that fun? I love that song. It's my little rebel song, for the record. It's so much fun.
That is great. I mean, people are going to love, I mean, everybody should be buying this album. You know, and it should be on mainstream radio, in my opinion. If I was on radio, I'd be playing it on mainstream radio.
Oh, my God, thank you. Yeah, I love it. I really do.
I love your tribute, too, to Mama. Mama, this one's for you?
Yeah, for my mamas.
That's great.
She's so wonderful.
And you're right, you know, sometimes you don't have the time to tell your mom how great she is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's always her taking care of you and, you know, worrying about
yeah.
you. But, you know, it's a wonderful song. It really is.
Thank you. Thank you. I love her so much, man. I've got an obsession with my mother.
But my mom's 92.
Oh, my God. That's so wonderful.
And my dad's
91. Is she really?
Yeah, and I actually take care of both of them. She's in the hospital now because she fell down and fractured her hip. But the surgery came out real good, and she's doing good, and she just has to go to rehab now. But they're both.
And you're taking care of your mama. That's so wonderful.
I take care of both of them. I know.
Aww.
I'm not going to put them at home. I can't do that.
You're a wonderful human being, man. That's
thank you.
That you do that for your parents.
I know. It's good for both of us. You know, I mean that's what the Japanese do. You know.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. Yep.
Yeah.
I heard that the siblings will fight over who gets to be the caretaker because it's the greatest honor if you get to be the caretaker. I heard that from one of my ex-bass players. He was married to a woman, an Asian woman, and he said that they fight over who gets to be the caretaker.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
On your track, you know, We're Still Living in the City. Do you sing this one on stage? Because that's a beautiful track.
Say again?
Do you sing that on stage?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, different nights, I change up the set a lot. So
right.
Some nights I'll play it, and then some nights I'll play a couple of other things off of it that are where I just sit down and play alone. And then, you know, obviously some of the songs I'll be playing with the band as well off that record. But
right.
I like to kind of mix it up, and I think it keeps us fresh, and I think that the audience, especially if some people are traveling to more than one or two shows, it
right.
kind of gets a shift for them as well and keeps it fresh.
Yep, I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, here's a couple of songs. I don't know if you've performed these before, but I think it would be, you should add it to your repertoire. How about Try a Little Tenderness, Otis Redding? Have you sung that?
Oh, God, I love that song. It's one of my very favorite songs from him.
I could hear you singing that on live.
Now, do you know if he wrote that or not? Did he write that song?
I think he would. Wasn't he the original guy that did that? I mean, a lot of people did it as a cover. I thought he did, but I'm not 100% sure. We'll have to look that one up.
Wasn't he just so unbelievably awesome?
He was. He was awesome.
God,
I love all those guys. Love all those guys back in the day.
And his ability to perform also was just incredible on stage, huh?
Yes, he was. Yep, and
so
we lost him too soon, too. You know?
I know. What was he, only 26 or something?
Yeah, I think it was a plane crash, right? I think he died from a plane
crash.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah, very strange.
Unbelievable.
The other one I could hear you doing, and maybe you've sung it before, is People Get Ready, you know, the Curtis Mayfield song.
Ah, People Get Ready.
Yeah.
That song?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jeff had me doing that when we were doing our show together. He had me singing that each night. I thought that was a fantastic song.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Love it. I'd love to hear Beth Hart singing that one, too.
Okay. He also turned me on to Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come.
Oh, yeah.
And he had me singing that also. And
actually,
that is an amazing song.
I've heard you sing that on YouTube. I think there's a YouTube video of you singing that.
I love that song.
I love R&B. I grew up in D.C. originally. And my dad had a store on F Street, electronics, since the late 50s to, you know, 90s. And we had a theater right next door to the store, and James Brown would perform there, and we had, you know, all the great R&B guys, and they used to come in the store. And when I was a kid, I sold a pair of binoculars to Luther Ingram, you know.
Oh,
it was so cool.
Yeah.
I had the Temptations, and, you know, so I love R&B. That's I really, really love that genre. Really do.
Yeah, me too. So many great songs. So much good stuff in there.
Here's a question. Here's an interesting question for you. Now, I ask everybody this, and I get some interesting answers.
Okay.
If you got a Field of Dreams wish, like the movie Field of Dreams,
yes,
to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
With anyone from the past or the present?
Yep, they could be.
Definitely
could be
Beethoven
gone.
Would be.
Really?
Beethoven would be number one.
Huh.
And I mean, even if it was a collaboration like me wiping the sweat off his brow, I would be thrilled, thrilled. Tom Waits also.
Tom Waits. Yeah.
I would do any kind of errands for him. And then if I could, you know, do a little singing with him, I would love it. He is just one of my very favorites. Also, Ricky Lee Jones, I adore her.
Yep.
Obviously, Aretha Franklin. But you know what? No, I couldn't collaborate with Aretha Franklin. I would have a nervous breakdown and die. I wouldn't be able to breathe. So just, you know, again, I could just, you know, walk beside her for one moment. That would be awesome.
Right.
You know, I actually saw her in the Kennedy Center Honors when we were in the White House. And then after you meet the president, you go into some little room where there's like cocktails and little mm-hmm. finger foods and stuff like that. And she was right there up where the little finger foods were, and so was I. And I didn't see her, and my husband tapped me on the shoulder. He said, Aretha Franklin's right there. And I literally turned around and left the room. I could not be in the room. I swear to God, I must have been like white as a sheet. I just love her more than anything. Did
That's
you see
so
her this year on Kennedy Center Honors? Did you see her performance?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it awesome?
Yeah.
She's the best.
That's why she's the queen of soul.
That's it. That's it.
How cool was that to pay tribute to Buddy Guy? Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. It was just the greatest honor in the world to be up there with Jeff Beck mm-hmm. and be looking at Buddy Guy. Oh, it was just the best thing ever. And, you know, I get nervous all the time about everything. I'm just one of those kind of nervous kind of people. But mm-hmm. for some reason, God was so rad. He took away all my nervousness. And the whole time that I was there, we did the show and all the different places we went and the dinners we had with all those people at the White House and at the State Department, I never got nervous, other than the Aretha thing where I had to leave the room. But otherwise, I never got nervous. I just had the best time.
So you never confronted Aretha and said hi to her or anything like that?
Oh, no. Nope. No. No.
Well,
no,
I'm going to have to think. I'm going to get a hold of Aretha's publicist.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll do a collaboration between you and her.
Oh, my gosh. That would be so rad.
I've been known to put things together.
That would be so cool. Yeah. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
It's so funny to hear the artists, these great legends, have heroes as well, like we do, you know? I talked to John Anderson from Yes, and he got really nervous talking to, I think it was George Harrison. And he didn't even know what to say to him. I said, why were you so nervous? You're John Anderson.
Yeah.
And yes, he says, but he's a Beatle. He's a Beatle. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
It's funny. It's funny.
It is funny.
You have to confront your fears.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You were actually on the very first American Idol, which is Ed McMahon's
Star Search.
Star
yeah.
Search. That's where it all started, with Ed McMahon's Star Search. And I saw you. I saw you on the YouTube videos.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube nowadays.
I had the best time in the world doing that show, and I learned
really?
A lot about television and performing and all that kind of good stuff. I had a ball doing that show. But that show never led me to getting a deal or anything.
Really?
Because back in those days, when I did the show, it was already towards the end when the show was going off air.
Okay.
So it was only played at midnight on Sundays on cable. And that was back in the day when hardly anybody had cable. So it wasn't like a popular show at that point. So it didn't connect me to getting a deal or anything, but it did. I got some really good money out of it, and I got to clean my piano and move out of my crap place and into kind of a nice place.
Right.
And that was really nice. But I got discovered by my manager on the streets 6 months after I did Star Search, where I was playing on the streets for quarters and nickels and dimes. So that was kind of interesting. I remember a guy once said, usually when people win a television show, they go on to do great stuff, not go to the street. It's usually the street to the television show, not the television show to the street. He was such a jerk. Anyway,
so yeah. Well, some of the people that you were up against, you don't hear about them anywhere, you know? I think that maybe in the finals or something, I forgot what her name was, but I don't think anything ever became of her. So,
well, someone had said to me that Beyonce, when she was a really young girl, and her friends or whatever, they were all in a group, and that they had done the show when during that time. Someone had told me that, but I don't know if it's true. I know Alanis was on the show, Alanis Morissette, but it's interesting. It's usually the people that were like comedians and stuff would get great careers going, but usually singers and stuff would kind of come and go through the show.
How old were you when you did that?
I was 20, yeah.
Oh, you're 20, okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to look back now, you know. And
I know, it's crazy. It's been 24 years.
Amazing.
Isn't that something?
It is something. So what do you do when you're not making music? Other things do you like to do?
Well, what I'm doing right now while I'm talking to your beautifulness is I am cooking my husband a meal. I'm making
a big old pot
of minestrone soup. Yeah, I love to cook. Big old pot of minestrone soup, and I'm making a baked chicken. And I love to meditate. That's something I actually learned how to do this year, long overdue. I love to work out. I really love going down to the beach. I like going fishing. I like being in the garden. You know, I like stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Can you
it's very not rock and roll.
Huh? Can you do that all at the same time?
I know, right? No. But today I've had, like, the best day. Like, this has just been one of those really good days today.
So what's next for Beth Hart? I mean, in my opinion, you've conquered, you know? But you still got a little ways, right, in the U.S. to become a household name, like a Janis Joplin.
Yeah. I've got some work to do in the States, but you know what I feel like? I feel like, you know, life is this big, awesome journey, and I can make plans all day long, but I like to think that, you know, there's a big guy up in the sky who's really looking out for me, and he's going to have me wherever I need to be. So as much as I'd like to build my career a little larger here in the States, that would be fun, play for more people, you know. I don't think that my way has got to be the right way. I think that
you know, it's okay for me to dream and make plans, but at the end of the day, just to trust that I'm okay, you know, my back is covered, and all I got to do is suit up and show up, and I'll be all right.
Do you live out in California?
Yeah, I live in Los Angeles.
Oh, you're in L.A., okay, all right.
Yeah.
You're there where it's all happening.
Well, you know, I don't even go out and do anything. I just, like, go to the vocal coach and go to the market. It's so funny. I'm not connected to the lifestyle here at all. But yeah. I love where we live. We live in Silver Lake, and we overlook downtown. And it's just, it's a lovely area. There's a lot of artists that live here, a lot of cool people, nice people.
Mm-hmm. So you're close to the beach? You said you were closer to the beach?
No. I'm in downtown. So I'm
okay.
Literally... I'm like a 3-minute drive from downtown L.A., so I'm in Silver Lake.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
Silver Lake is a really old, hilly community. It kind of looks like Sicily, Silver Lake, which is weird. So you kind of feel like you're in a land far away, but you're right smack dab in the middle of L.A. It's kind of a trippy area. It's fun to live here.
Huh. I live pretty close to the beach. We just had made national news because we had a bunch of tornadoes here in Florida. I mean,
I
live near Siesta Key. Siesta Key Beach, which is one of the nicest beaches in the country. We're about 8 minutes from Siesta Key, and I live in a neighborhood in between Sarasota and Bradenton called Lakewood Ranch. I have Rick Derringer lives up the street from me.
Oh, no kidding!
Dick Vitale lives here, and Brian Johnson from ACDC. They all live in this area. Yeah, they like Florida.
Wow, that's cool. So you got it going on up there.
Yeah, we got it going on over here. The music scene here is really good. I'm glad to finally see that you're, you know, visiting Florida on a tour. Because I've been...
I know.
Yeah.
I am, too. And I really love Florida. So I'm really excited to come there. I wish I could play there more often. But I have faith that maybe one day we'll be working a little bit more down there. But it's such a killer place to come.
It's fun. It's nice. We have a lot of outdoor festivals here all the time, all year round. And you'll be at the it's called the Sea Blues Festival in Clearwater. And you'll
be
performing there on February 21st. And I think you hit the stage at around 7:30.
Oh, good. I like that.
That's a
good
time slot. Anyway. 7:30.
Yeah.
Headline. You'll be headlining that.
I will?
That day. Yeah, you'll be headlining that day, because I think it's 2 or 3
Yay.
Days. Yeah.
Oh, fun. That's cool.
Yeah. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
So what else do you have going on? New collaborations? You said you got an album, but you're not going to release it for quite a long time because you want this one people to enjoy it more.
Yes, I do.
Is the next album done, or are you still recording?
It is.
It is done.
Wow. Yeah, we recorded it in, like, I think it was 4 days. I had the most amazing musicians on it. And then my lovely producer and old friend, Oliver Lieber, is the producer, and he's been mixing. And it's really fun. It's very different from Better Than Home. It's much more of a higher energy kind of a record.
Okay.
It's got a bit more jazz in it and a lot more rock and roll in it. So it's kind of an interesting blend of rock and roll and jazz. Yeah, it's really fun. And I think it's, I actually have a dinner tomorrow night with my label guy, so I'm going to see if I can push it back, but we're going to see what happens. We're going to see. Because who knows? Like, in 6 months, I might be like, yeah, I'm ready for have another record out, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
I know. It's like a bug, isn't it?
I know, right?
It's a good record. Yeah, you just want to keep on going.
Yep.
Well, where do you record? Do you have a studio in your house, or do you go somewhere else?
I do have a little music room studio in the house, but nothing where you could make an actual record with. It's just for me to go down and practice the instruments and kind of, you know, with good amplification and kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't get to really record anything down there. I don't have anything to do that with.
Right. Well, do you have any final thoughts?
That you are a doll face, and that I thank you so much for doing such a wonderful interview with me today and making me feel so at home. Bless you. Thank you.
I just think you're wonderful, Beth. I really do. I think I know a thing or two about music, and it was so refreshing when I found you on the internet and you know, watched all your live shows, you know, in Holland. And I said, man, this girl is going to save the genre of rock and roll. I just hope she gets the press she deserves, you know, because that's a big problem today. Is there are a lot of good people out there. They just don't get the press. So I wanted to get you on the show, and I want to promote the hell out of you.
Thank you. And you let me be on air with you for so long, too. That is so nice. Thank you so much for that today.
And we'll follow up with you when the new album comes out, okay?
Yay! Yeah,
Yay.
It sounds great.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today
and
for all the incredible music you continue to give us. And God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. And have an awesome new year, okay? Big hug and big kiss. Mwah!
Me too.
Okay. Thank you,
Bye-bye,
sweetie.
Now.
Thank you so
Take
much.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Be sure to purchase Beth Hart's latest album entitled Better Than Home at Amazon.com or visit www.bethhart.com. Visit Beth on Facebook at www.facebook.com/officialbethhart and Twitter at twitter.com/bethhart. Also, make sure you go to the show if you are from Florida. Beth will be performing in Clearwater, Florida. The performance will be February 21st at the Sea Blues Festival. She'll be on stage somewhere around 7:30. This is a perfect opportunity for Tampa Bay music lovers to witness a true legend in the making. Join me bi-weekly Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the Ray Shasho Show. Very special thanks to John Bleicher of the Mascot Label Group for hooking us up today with the amazing Beth Hart. Coming up next show, my guests will be the magical duo of Magic Dick, the legendary harpist from the Jay Giles Band, and prodigious guitarist and vocalist Sean On. And that'll be coming up on the next show of the Ray Shasho Show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on the Ray Shasho Show, call 941-877-1552 or email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. And please don't forget to purchase a copy of my latest book entitled Wacky Shenanigans on F Street, Proud to be Politically Incorrect in Washington, D.C., available at Amazon.com. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans, we shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio, Station 1.